There's a scripture that has been close to my heart, and the reason for that is because I saw God do something new in the world. And I saw this when he sent me on an assignment to the islands of Cape Verde. And this scripture is from Isaiah 43 from verse 18. It says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in a desert." So what I saw was God do something in the hotel industry that really changed my perspective about our assignments in the world. You see, my assignment was to see what he showed me and to continue until I start doing what I'm doing today. But how he got me there, how he got me to experience this or to witness this new thing that he's doing, was that he got a friend of mine to invite me to help him in this business venture he was putting together in one of the islands in Cape Verde. So I went over there to help him, together with a couple of other guys who also came along to assist. When we got there, I found that my friend had been on the islands for a while, doing some research and trying to find out how he could get his business going on those islands. He then managed to get some funding, but that funding was only going to come available when the investors' investments matured, which was in about 6 months' time. So in the meantime, what he did was he invited us and he put us up in this hotel that he had this agreement with, and he started a process of training us for the selling that we were going to do, because his business was part of the hotel, but it had to do with selling vacation properties. So how these hotels in Cape Verde work is that most of them do the conventional or the traditional hotel business, where you book a room, you stay in there, and you know the hotel room is just like a bedsitter. That's a usual type of hotel room. But on top of that, most of the hotels have hotel apartments. So the deal that my friend had with this hotel chain, this was a massive chain, was that he would buy some of those apartments from them and be able to set up his business using those apartments. Anyway, we started our training, and the training was going very nicely because we were in the hotel. We were being accommodated in the hotel, so we were not far away from the place where we were being trained. Now, one of the hotel chain's major business partners got wind of what we were doing because they heard about the training and, you know, people talk and all that kind of thing. So eventually they found out what we were doing. And the owners of this, well, the business partners went to see the owners of this hotel chain, and they made them a counter proposal. And, you know, business being what it is and dishonesty being what it is, the owner of the hotel chain had the option of saying, "Hey, look, I've already got an agreement with somebody, so I can't pull out of that and I can't renege on that agreement." But business being what it is, when an opportunity comes, you've got to just take it with both hands. That's the way business is done. Because remember, we're on a system of each man for himself. And each man wants to get to a place of being independently wealthy. So now, my friend's deal was that he was going to pay for the hotel units in 6 months' time. But this business partner, trying to curtail our advancement and trying to secure his own business interests, went in and said to this guy, "Look, I'll give you that money now." And we're talking some big money here, something in the tune of 200 to 300 million euros. So he put that money up front. He put it up front. Everything changes when you have the cash in front of you rather than having it in 6 months' time. So that solves a lot of his problems in terms of cash flow and things like that. So he took the deal and he kicked us out. So we spent the next 6 to 12 months trying to put that business together, trying to find alternatives, trying to establish ourselves, put offices together and train in a different location. But eventually it just didn't work, and I had to leave the country and go back home. But in that time, I learned so much about hotels, so much about the hotel business, that I developed an interest in it. So when I went back home, I continued to read articles about hotels, find out how, you know, we can innovate and things like that. And while I was reading something on the internet one day, I came across something that caught my attention. It was about this group called Airbnb. And suddenly I just sensed that God was saying, this is the new thing I'm doing. So when I started reading about this, I saw that Airbnb, the founders put together a website that offered short-term living quarters plus breakfast for those who were unable to book a hotel room in a saturated market. Okay, so in other words, the market was so booked up and the traditional hotel giants had no rooms to spare. So Airbnb saw a gap in the market and they put this website up and attracted people who had rooms, they had little cottages, they had flatlets or little lodges. And they started to attract these people, and they brought their lodges onto the platform, and they were making available accommodation that hotel groups could not provide. And this thing grew and grew. Remember, it was established in 2008. So by 2016, 2017, it was already going for a long time, and it was challenging the hotel industry. Now, what happens with the hotel industry is that, you know, when a new player comes in, they get nervous because, you know, they kind of know each other. They know who else is in the market, and together they kind of ring fence the industry and prevent new entrants coming in. But Airbnb found a gap in the market and attracted a whole lot of new small operators who they were targeting. And these small operators were able to provide a service where hotels could not. And on top of that, these Airbnb properties were available in some of the most remote areas in the world that hotel chains have not built hotels. So they were making inroads and they were doing it fast. Now, the problem is with the traditional giants in the market is that they are normally regulated by government. And government benefits from that regulation because these giants must have a business license. They must pay various levies and taxes. And in the hotel industry particularly, they are required to buy compulsory public liability insurance up to the level of minimum $1.5 million, right? They must also be members of a local tourism authority. And on top of that, they must have a valid food preparation certificate. So those are the things that make it difficult for new entrants to come in, because you have to fulfill all those requirements. But now, just looking at what was going on in the industry, Airbnb is making waves and the hotel groups are under pressure because they're losing clients daily. Okay, so there's an outcry from the hotel industry, and obviously they then have an opportunity to go back to the government that regulates them. They go back to them and say, hey, you guys are benefiting from what we do. We pay our taxes, so you got to do something. And eventually the government stepped in and brought in new regulations. Cities worldwide have since then implemented strict regulations on a number of properties that an informal operator is permitted to use or to host, and how many days he can put people into those properties for. In New York alone, after the city implemented the strict renting rules, the number of Airbnb properties that were on the platform shrunk from 22,000 to just 3,000. Now, that was because of the fight back of the established hotel chains that were now under threat. Okay, but the problem with that is, as soon as these regulations came in, is that these Airbnb properties that were formerly on the platform were now starting to appear in a black market on Facebook. So you can't ever get rid of something new that starts. Now, as this was happening, as I was reading this up, God reminded me. He said, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. He was saying, forget about the way the business environment has been set up in this system of each man for himself, where people become giants and they begin to monopolize the market. So he said to me, forget about that. I'm doing a new thing. And this, I was getting excited as I started to see what Airbnb did. And then God took me to another crowd called Couchsurfing. And I saw that they're doing something significant as well. Now, Couchsurfing is a service that connects members to a global community of travelers. What Couchsurfing does is that it tracks a whole lot of events that are taking place in the world. And it has on its platform people who would then let their rooms, let their flatlets, let their cottages out to people traveling to those events taking place around the world. For example, there's the Rio Carnival. Let's say that's taking place. In the whole of Rio de Janeiro, there would be people who would let out their rooms, their flats, or their cottages. Now, the only difference between Couchsurfing and Airbnb is that Couchsurfing let the members let out their apartments and all their properties out for no charge at all. So where Airbnb is a for-profit business, Couchsurfing is a non-profit business. And it's moving us closer to the vision of God, where He creates a level playing field. Because, you know, travel to some of these exotic locations is only limited to people who have great means, people who can afford hotels. Now, what Airbnb did was bring the price of accommodation down, and Couchsurfing brought it down even further to almost zero, because then people could travel from all over the world, and all they'd have to worry about is their air tickets and some money for spending. So what God is doing here is that He's doing a new thing by giving the world access to travel, access to cultural diversity, access to seeing the world, but at a much lower cost. So He's bringing the cost of things down. That's doing a new thing. So you see, now, when you look at what happened in the book of Acts, after Jesus ascended into heaven and His own disciples went into Jerusalem and Judea and introduced a brand new system, is that they attracted rich people, they attracted people of means, and they brought their resources in, plus their businesses, and they created a level playing field for all the people who responded to the message of the apostles. God is doing the same thing today, some 2,000 or so years later. You see, God is allowing us to use resources that He's made available for free. If you remember the World Wide Web, as it was called when it started, which is now the internet, when it started, you could have an email, or you could register an email address, but you had to pay for it back in the day. But as the internet developed, certain tech giants emerged, okay, and they started to offer websites to individuals free of charge. You see, sometimes what happens in the world is that people who are in business recognize a new thing that God is doing, and they make it available, but worldly people being worldly people, they found a way to make money. So everybody now, whether you're on Google, on Facebook, on Snapchat, or you have a YouTube channel, or whatever, LinkedIn, all those platforms, you can have all those. Those give you a website for free where you can put your profile up there, you can put all your years of experience and your job training and everything you've done in your life, plus your videos and your photos. So you can do all that. They give that to you for free. One platform, right? Now, this new thing that God is doing is not just limited to the internet. You see, the resources that are freely available to us today are bringing us a new way of life that's virtually free of charge. Look at solar energy, for example, where we're harnessing the energy that comes from the sun and generating electricity, or we're using the wind to generate electricity. In some cities around the world, there's so many individuals who have invested in solar or wind that there are over 1 million installations in those cities. So what they've done is that they've come together and formed a cooperative, and they've invited people who don't have solar and wind to get electricity from them. And by so doing, they bypassed the national provider of electricity and brought the price of electricity right down. In years to come, that price will go even lower down, because by then all those independent operators will have paid off their installations. They have no longer have any high fixed costs. They no longer have any expenses, so they can bring the cost of electricity down even lower. That's a new thing that God is doing. Now, I used to live in a suburb in Harare here called Eastleigh. And in that suburb, on the particular road that I lived on, there were at least four or five houses where the owners sunk a borehole and were getting water for themselves. That's the system of each man for himself. Basically, each person uses their own resources to take care of their own lives and not worry about anybody else around them. So at some point in that suburb, we had water problems. The water utility company was not able to provide water on a daily basis, and it whittled down to being water coming through once or twice a week. The rest of the week, we had to find water from somewhere. Those neighbors of ours weren't prepared to give us water, so sometimes we would have to travel several kilometers to go and fill up a whole lot of containers and take them back to the house. And this is a thing that we had to do every few days. Now, in the suburb, somebody bought a house, maybe three or four houses down from me, and he sunk a borehole, put a whole lot of money in there, and he did something that his neighbors weren't doing, is that he built a water point outside his wall, and he put a tap there, and he offered his water for free. He offered the residents to come there and fill up their containers and get water for nothing. The only restriction he had is that he wouldn't allow the companies to come with their water bowsers, because they were then going to fill up their bowsers and go and sell this rare or scarce product. All right, so this is the thing that God is doing, a new thing that God is doing. He's changing people's mindsets from being self-centered to being other-centered. Remember, in the Bible, there are over 50 one another scriptures. Those are scriptures that are encouraging us to be other-centered rather than self-centered. That's the new system of Jesus. That's what he's trying to do in this world. That's the new thing that he's doing. So this provision of water is just an example, because let's face it, those people who drill their boreholes and access water, that water actually doesn't belong to them. That water is flowing under all of our properties. It's God's resource. It comes from those fountains of the deep, right? So what people in this world do is that if they sink their money into that equipment, they believe that they now own the water that they managed to extract as a result of that equipment. But they don't. That water doesn't belong to them. So I always had a problem with people who sunk a bowl and started selling the water. It's like, how can you sell something that doesn't belong to you? That always bothered me. But now, all over the city in Harare, you have people who have sunk bowls and they are sharing that rare, scarce resource with all their neighbors. That's kingdom. That's what God came to do. That's the new thing that God is doing. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus addressed this thing that he is doing, this new thing that I'm talking about. He said there, after his disciples asked him the question, why do you speak to people in parables? And he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, in other words, to people in the world, it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What does that mean? Well, the one who has this revelation, the one who gets to understand this new thing that God is doing, will get more revelation, will get more ideas, and will be given opportunities to implement these ideas and create some platform where you'll be able to share what he's being given. But then he talks about the big global giants, the big mega businesses in the world, and he says, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. In other words, those who don't have the revelation, those who don't change their mindsets, those who want things to remain as they were. Remember, he said, forget the former things. But there are people who want things to remain the same. He says, even those, what they have, will be taken away. Because as people grasp this new thing that God is doing, this sharing culture, then businesses will begin to shrink and shrink. As long as they continue to try to maintain the culture of each man for himself. So he goes on to say, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see and never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. The healing that Jesus is talking about here is healing the heart, healing the mind, so that the mindset changes. When you change from being self-centered to being other-centered, there's a healing that takes place in your whole body, because you take away stress, you take away all the things that people in the system of each man for himself suffer, and you give them peace of mind, you give them a different kind of a lifestyle, which takes away the stress, which takes all that away. So, that scripture that I quoted right at the beginning is now relevant. Jesus, or God, saying, remember not the former things. Forget about the way things have always been done. Behold, or look, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, when Jesus was walking the streets or walking around in Israel, whether in the cities and towns or in the countryside, he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven has arrived. This new system has arrived. Okay, now the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, they could interpret the weather. They could tell whether it was going to rain or whether it was going to be sunny. But Jesus said, in spite of that, they could not see the signs of the times. There were so many things that Jesus was doing, so many things that he was saying to show them that things were changing, and they just could not perceive them. Now he's saying to us, the religious leaders of today, saying to them, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's doing that in front of us. He's opening our eyes to see what he's doing. But can we see it? You know, the future of our lives, the future of the church, depends on us seeing this new thing that God is doing. It's happening all over the world, not just in the hotel industry. It's happening in things that we have been taking for granted forever. If we look, we will see it and will become a part of this new thing that God is doing.